Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom, and I'm Brother Gregory, and I'm going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And we're talking about the mysteries of the Kingdom of God today. And we've done a couple hours already of broadcasts, and we're going to continue this series. It was based on an audio interview by somebody I've known for a long time, and I respect them greatly. But they seem to have some problem in understanding something about this Kingdom of God at hand that everybody needs to understand. And we went through a lot of that earlier, but the Kingdom of God was at hand, according to Christ. This is what we were to go out and preach. The Kingdom of God is at hand, and that people were to be seeking the Kingdom of God. And Jesus uses words like strive and persevere in this seeking of the Kingdom of God. He also says, if you want eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. Thou knowest the commandments, keep them. And we hear Paul saying, you know, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't kill or anything, and even says, don't covet. Above all else, you weren't to covet. Right? I shouldn't say above all else. Actually, James said, above all else, stop the taking of oaths. But he mentioned several times not to covet in relationship to the Bible. And we just finished a 22-hour series that we've posted up on the net on the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, which will really take you word by word right through Romans to see that. But we have this misconception because of a cognitive disconnect in our minds that somehow or other what we're doing today in the world today is not coveting. And I've been putting together a lot of notes on what the temples were doing at the time that Christ came along, both in Jerusalem, the temples that Herod built. He built Herod built temples both to Yahweh, the Temple of David. He built with golden doors and inlays and all that stuff according to the rules of the Torah. But he also built the Temple of Roma for all those who didn't want to do the song and dance and didn't like the music of the Hebrews, then they could go do the song and dance and the music that the Romans liked. And the point was is that you would be contributing either at the Temple of Roma, if that was your cup of tea, or you'd be contributing at the temple in Jerusalem. It didn't really matter to Herod as long as you were contributing. And what you had to do in order to be a part of the temple is sign up. And you would sign up using some sort of traditional method. I don't know really how they signed up at the Temple of Roma, but I know how they signed up at the temple in Jerusalem for Herod's scheme of to gather everybody under his... And he had missionaries going out all over the Roman Empire. But what you did is you got registered by scribes who... The word scribes really means accountants. They were kind of your IRS guys of the day, and they were going to register you. And you would also get baptized by Herod's ministers going out, but you would be registered. Now, if you had any trouble, they would help you out. Now, this was a kind of welfare system that had been around for centuries. Rome hadn't used it at first, but with the advent of the triumvirate and then eventually the emperors under Augustus Caesar, they had this system of social welfare where you would sign up. And in Rome it was called Corban, and in Jerusalem it was called Corban with a C, or at least it was a kuf in the Hebrew language, but for our purposes we see it translated as Corban with a C. You'll find the same word in the book for the Muslims which is the Quran, they talk about Corban too, and it just means sacrifice. These sacrifices, if you go back to ancient Rome, they had a whole system of social welfare. You could actually get a token, a food token, that would be given to you. And I could show you pictures, but it looks like a little coin. It's made out of iron. And it was a prelude to removing all the silver from the Roman denarii, because it wasn't silver. It was iron, but it was a token for food that you could bring to the temple. There's usually a building right next to the temple that you would go to. It's kind of an annex. And you would go there and you would give that coin, and they would give you a ration of corn. Except it wasn't corn like we think of it. It was wheat. But if you were to read it in the translations, they say corn, but it's actually some sort of grain, usually wheat. And often wheat that was brought in at the Trajan Harbor, what became the Trajan Harbor, from Egypt. And they had 16 acres of grain bins there that would store hundreds of thousands of bushels of grain, and they would be giving those away to the poor. And if you had a job where you got some money, they would only supplement some of, you know, with these iron coins, which is like your food stamps in those days. And you would get that. But how did they know to give it to you? Did they just go around down the street and look for poor? And if you had no job at all, you would actually get more of those, because they would supplement your grain even more so, because you had no job. You were actually better off. They eventually finagled it so you would be better off if you got some sort of a job, and then you would actually get almost the same amount as if you had no job, but not quite. But it was supplementing your income. But they had to have records to know you were entitled to that coin, that little coin. At times, the coin was actually made of terracotta, but they actually made them out of iron too. And then you would turn in that coin, and then they could reissue them, so they were reusable. And they could actually be used like money, because people knew that it was good for corn. And when you came up to get your ration of corn, all you had to do is have that coin. They didn't really care who carried it. But in order to get the coin, they had to have a system in place that you would get a coin based on your income or lack of it. And this was working through the entire city of Rome, and actually all to the Roman Empire to some degree, because they were giving away this grain, corn, as they called it then, in Jerusalem from the temples in Rome. Augustus Caesar was giving away. Now, Herod was giving it away too, helping out the poor through their system of Corban. But you could actually be a part of the temple and receive these giveaways of corn from Caesar himself, if you were registered with Caesar himself. Augustus Caesar did this regularly. As a matter of fact, he even passed laws that if the day they were going to hand out this grain fell on a Jewish holiday where you're not supposed, like Sabbath, and you're not supposed to walk so far on the Sabbath if you're a Pharisee, they would allow you to come in on another day. They had to know that you were a part of that group, that you didn't, so that they could, or that this was coming up. So they were very sophisticated in the way they operated. But this was the bondage that, this brought about a bondage when you became a member, because you were signed up, you were registered. Now you had to pay in to the temple. But if you fell on hard times, you could withdraw aid from the temple in the form usually of grain, although they had other, they actually had giveaways of wine and even vegetables and those kinds of things, as well as meat. Every time they had a sacrifice, where they sacrificed a big bullocks or several of them or something like that, they would cut the meat up, and you would get a portion based upon where you stood in relationship to your needs, which had to be accounted for within the temples, whether it was the temple of Roma or the temple in Jerusalem that Herod built. And this is all part of their welfare system. This was called Corban. And it's just amazing. It's really hard to find information out about this. It's been absolutely excluded from your education for about 1,000 years or 1,200 years. Books have actually been burned. Books have been hidden away in huge libraries that you don't have access to. But the information is around. And there are actually more and more historians who have stumbled on this. Dead Sea Scrolls were a great source, and that's why they were kept in hiding. I mean, they knew about the Dead Sea Scrolls. They took pictures of them, but they wouldn't even release pictures of the Dead Sea Scrolls to academia, which is unprecedented. Normally, they never do that. They'd always release them. They had them. They had the value. But you wanted more and more people looking at them and translating them and talking about them because it actually made them more value. But instead, it was kind of a blackout. And there's still some things that we haven't seen, or at least not predominantly up front. But it's evident that Herod was building this vast social security system, social welfare system. But this was what Paul and King David referred to as what should have been for your welfare became a snare. So anyway, what we were talking about earlier is the fact that people are looking at the Constitution thinking that, oh, if we just go back to the Constitution, then everything would be okay in this country. Except it won't be, because that's not the problem. The Constitution wasn't what made this country great, and it's not what bringing this country down. As a matter of fact, and we went through this in great detail, and we'll go through it even more in subsequent shows, but basically there was a reference to the 9th and 10th Amendment in this audio that we were listening to. And the 9th Amendment says, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. If there are rights retained by the people, there are rights that the people can lose. The Constitution is a contract. Many of the agreements that you sign with government in order to obtain benefits are contracts. They're agreements. Social Security is a contract. Marriage license is a contract. And application for benefits are contracts. All these things are contracts. And when you are applying for benefits, you are probably not retaining rights, because rights require responsibilities. If you're asking somebody else to take the responsibility for your welfare, you're not retaining your rights, because if they have the responsibility for your welfare, they have access to some of your rights. Now, if this was just an open deal, you could always back out and say, oh, well, I'm not going to, you know, if it's like an insurance policy, you could just say, well, I'm going to drop my insurance, and I'm not going to pay in anymore, and I'm not going to have insurance anymore. I had it while I was paying, but now I'm not paying. Now I don't want it. But as we've said in many other audios, which you can go and listen to on the net, on employee versus enslaved, we have an article on that, which is a chapter in the book Covenants of the Gods, which also has an audio with it, and we actually have a video that's connected with that. If you look at those, it takes about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you'll see that Social Security was a system sold as if it was insurance, but it was not insurance. It was a system of employment, is what it was. And that's why a Social Security number is still referenced in law as an employee identification number from the beginning. It's actually your federal employee identification number, and it allows you to work for federal employers with a federal employer identification number, which includes the guy running McDonald's down there, or the guy at Rocketdyne, or the guy at Enron that hires you. He has a federal employer identification number, and you're a federal employee working for him in that private company, and you get paid. But you don't get paid everything, because a portion of everything you do every day in work goes to the government. And that's a system of Corban. That's a legitimate system of Corban, and you've contracted into it. and you're in that system. Problem is that system of Corbin makes the word of God to none effect. That system of Corbin also, what should have been for your welfare, is a trap, a snare. And both David and Paul and Proverbs and John the Baptist and also Jesus Christ and all the Gospels tell you not to be a part of such system. But people read the Bible and they miss that. The preachers are out there saying you're saved and you listen. As somebody just wrote, didn't write, me alone wrote, some large group, and was saying that the Protestants follow the King James Bible while the Catholics follow the Dewey Reams Bible, I think is what he was saying. They also have the Confraternity Bible. But anyway, the point was, is they actually, Protestants and Catholics aren't following either one. Because they all say, even the Torah says, thou shalt not covet. But somehow there's this cognitive disconnect that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government. In other words, it's okay to want the rich to pay for your education, to provide you with welfare, tax the rich, they say. What is the difference between saying, force the rich to pay for my welfare, in other words, bring the rich into the bondage of having to take care of you, he's now, the rich are now your slaves. Not completely, I mean, they still live to live real fancy, but they have to, you know, what they earn has to go to taking care of you. You're enslaving the rich through taxation. Taxation is they work, earn money, but they don't get to have it. The value of it goes to somewhere else. That's slavery. It's voluntary slavery because those rich volunteered somewhere along the line to be subject to the taxation powers of the United States. But you wanted to force the rich to pay for what you want, what you think you need. You're enslaving the rich. What is the difference between that and what Joseph's brothers did to him? I mean, they sold him into slavery. We had to work for somebody else. He ended up being very well off, but still a slave. He was literally the richest man, other than the Pharaoh himself, in Egypt. But he was still a slave. He wasn't a free man. But he lived like a king and had all this power. But he was brought to that position because his brothers sold him into bondage. So we see in the process of the Bible, because they sold him into bondage, they themselves went into bondage. And God said, you are never to return to the bondage of Egypt again. If you ever make a constitution, if you ever elect a leader who can exercise authority, a king, a ruler, you were to write down Deuteronomy 17, 16, that area there. There's several verses there. Says you were to write down in that constitution that this leader could do nothing to return you to the bondage of Egypt. And of course, everybody in the United States and Australia, Canada, England are all back in the bondage of Egypt because they all have to pay at least 1/5 of everything they earn into the government. And the government takes care of their welfare. That type of system makes the word of God to none effect because it's not really charity. It's not based on faith, hope, and charity. And so you've heard me talk about this many times before. But the problem is this individual talking in this interview is talking about throwing off the oppressiveness of modern government, because modern government is making you pay these taxes. And they have usurped their authority, and they're equating it to the Declaration of Independence, which was written because of the unwarranted usurpations of the king. Well, the fact is the United States government is not doing unwarranted usurpations by demanding these taxes of you, because they are out of money and you gave them the power to spend the money, to make the budget, etc., etc. You have demanded all these benefits from public schools to health care and what have you. You've entered into a democracy. Now, people say the United States Constitution didn't create a democracy. It did. It was to guarantee the republics within the individual states, but itself, it was an indirect democracy, and you can see that by the rules they set up. It was a constitutional democracy, and the government cannot infringe upon any rights that you have, those inalienable rights, unless, of course, you fail to retain them. Now, this, and everybody always thinks that you cannot lose inalienable rights. You have them no matter what. Well, that's not true. That's insane thinking. It takes a huge amount of cognitive dissonance to think that. If you commit crimes and murder people and shoot people and go on a rampage, people can arrest you and throw you into jail to protect society against your insanity. You still have your inalienable rights. You just can't do any of them because you're in jail. They can bar you from those inalienable rights. Like, for instance, hey, you have an inalienable right to get married. But what happens if you go get married and you sign a marriage contract with you, your spouse, and the state? Now can you go get married again? No. You've agreed to get married to this one woman, and you can't get married to another woman until you get a divorce. That's the rules. You had an inalienable right to get married, but you've done that. Now you can't go do it again. We could go through a lot of better examples even than that. But the fact is you can contract away your rights, your access to your rights. You know, ball players do it all the time. They contract to work in New York. They sell their contract to somebody in Los Angeles, and now they have to go work in Los Angeles. Now, they could probably breach their contract and say, I'm not going to Los Angeles. But even if they did that, they would still be fined, probably. They wouldn't receive the money. And so they go. That's the deal. Now, when Moses came to Egypt, everybody could have snuck out, you know, one at a time, and, you know, kind of created an underground and gone out. Moses could have said, okay, everybody, let's start having civil disobedience. Let's make no more bricks. We're not going to make any more bricks. But that isn't the approach he did. He taught them, he said, you're going to have to pay your tally of bricks. They're not going to give you any benefits, no straw, no leeks and onions. You're going to have to take care of yourselves. And in Philos, they have a better description where they fill in each other's water vases and stuff like this because the plagues were coming. And they had to take care of one another. You know, I can guarantee you the Passover lamb was not bought with food stamps. Okay? Got it? Passover lamb, you can't buy the Passover lamb with food stamps. Same thing going on when the people were going back into the bondage of Egypt in Jerusalem at the time of Herod. So how are they going to get free? Civil disobedience? No. They're not going to. Jesus didn't say, okay, stop paying Caesar. He didn't come in and say, okay, stop doing what the rulers who sit in the seat of Moses are telling you to do. He didn't say that. He said, you know, to just simply do as they say, but not as they do. In other words, start, you know, you have to pay in, but start learning how to take care of yourself. That's kind of a bummer. Everybody says, well, I just don't want to pay in. No, you have to pay in. And even though you pay in, you forgive that debt, because there's nothing, everything you pay in, nothing goes to take care of anybody. It goes to take care of the debt. You're all running on interest now. And there is no separation of Social Security funds from the common fund. You're operating in the red. All of it's in the red. Every time you take some money, you're taking against the future. Now, many of you have no other way of surviving unless you continue to take Social Security. I understand that. But it's a snare. It was a snare to begin with. And what we have to start doing is finding young people who see that, don't want to just opt out of the system, has been suggesting, got cheers when Ron Paul said we want to opt out. You want to be opting into another system based on the perfect law of liberty, faith, hope, and charity. Has nothing to do with civil disobedience. It has to do with seeking righteousness. You see, before Herod built the temple, there was a temple even long before that, and before that there was just a tent. And the same, we're writing a book now, putting it together so you can see that this has repeated itself over and over again in history. Whole societies, thousands, tens of thousands, and thousands, and even possibly millions of people at one time, operated a society that sustained its social welfare entirely by faith, hope, and charity. This is what the early church was doing. This is what early Israel was doing. This is what Abraham was doing. They weren't out committing civil disobedience. Now, the individual on this radio program was giving an example of the fact that there were roads that they're closing. They're closing in our area too. Forest Service going around closing all these roads because there's it's part of the Agenda 21 thing, although most of them aren't even thinking that. Matter of fact, most bureaucrats don't do much thinking at all. But they're closing these roads, and then next thing you know, after they close the road, there's a fire. Then they have to get guys in to build the roads back real quick so they can get in there and put out the fire. But the it's really just a complete boondoggle. I mean, even in our local community, they spent $6 million building an island in the middle of what actually used to be one of the main roads. There used to be actually a store out there. But when they dammed up with horses back in the 30s, a local spring, which huge spring, 600 acre feet of water coming out of the spring, it dammed up and made a whole lake. Well, suddenly way over in these other lower spots, the lake appeared. And so it's a very shallow lake. It used to be a road going across it, but now it's a lake and a pond. And they built a floating island. They built this whole cement floating island. I don't know what they all built it out of. And they covered it with gravel and dirt and all this stuff and floated it out there. They didn't know how to moor it. Their engineers weren't very bright. There were seamen here in the valley that said that will never hold, and they were absolutely right. They said you got to have, you know, a cable out this way and a cable out that way. And I believe them because they've moored boats out at sea, and they know how to keep a boat in place. But anyway, the point is, then they spent millions of dollars to bring in terns, to raise terns out on this island, because somebody wanted to kill the terns that were killing all the salmon on the Columbia River. In order to do it, the environmentalists said you have to create more tern habitat somewhere else. So they spent millions and millions of dollars in tax money to build this island, put terns on it, shipped them in, put them on it, then paid people to watch these things, you know, 24/7 to keep an eye on the terns, and they just kept disappearing and they couldn't see where they were going. And then finally somebody found the little bands they put on the terns and all the owl poop that they found laying around. So evidently the owls were eating all the terns at about $20,000 a meal, and now they've decided that's not going to work, so they're going to take the island out. Well, it took millions of dollars to put this island in. Now they're digging it out with a big backhoe and loading it onto dump trucks and hauling it 75 miles away to a landfill. Now, in this valley, there's only a couple hundred people live in about 10,000 square miles here. So they're now going to haul this gravel. I could give you hundreds of places right near here that people would pay to get that concrete and gravel brought in and dropped in gullies and stuff where there's erosion to fill it up. But they don't want to do. They don't want to mess with that. They just spend your money to haul it in a 150-mile round trip of hauling this gravel and everything that all came out of a pit right here. So it's just absolutely insane the money that's being spent. But they have that right to do that because you gave them that right. Well, I'll tell you some more of this, and then we'll try to get into this show on why and how you can do something to reverse this process of losing your rights when we return to Keys to the Kingdom.
Okay, well, we're back with Brother Gregory. And Brother Gregory, we have a caller that would like to... there you go. Larry, your mic is live.
Hey, Cheryl. Hi, Greg. How you doing, man? Hey, first, well, there's two things. One, you'd mentioned that we have a constitutional democracy, and I have to disagree with you on that. On my studies, We have a constitutional republic that is represented by servants, not Caesars or rulers, okay?
Well, why do they call them lawmakers?
Yeah, well,
no,
I'm going
actually,
by what
I understand that. I'm not going to answer the whole thing here, but actually, all you have to do is read the Constitution, and you can see they're setting up an indirect democracy. The rules are they're representatives to make laws.
And they make laws. Now, they were restricted in the power they had to make laws in back there in 1790. But it's been a long time since 1790. The fact is, most of the laws that you're dealing with today are in equity. And if you read the Judiciary Act of 1789, section at least 19, there are several sections in there, that equity, it takes the place of the common law whenever there is not a legitimate remedy at common law for the situation. Because of all the contracts that you made, you went to public schools, you apply for health care, you apply for Social Security, welfare, all these. What should have been for your welfare has become a snare, and now you're heavily regulated by the laws they're making for you in the indirect democracy that was to guarantee a republic in the individual states. They are regulating you through equity. Now, I've written several books on this. It is clearly an indirect democracy. You are electing men to regulate people that are in equity, the use of things. And that's what they're doing. The problem is you're now a federal employee with a federal employee identification number, a Social Security number. You have a birth certificate that has registered you as collateral for the debt of the United States. They guarantee you all kinds of benefits, and they're going to regulate you. You don't own your land. 30% of the people in America at the time of the American Revolution owned their land in fee simple. They couldn't be taxed on their land. You don't know anybody hardly who owns their land today. You don't own your labor because you waived a right to a portion of your labor when you obtained a Social Security number because you made a contract. That's a contract. Did you read the Social Security Act before you got that? No, you didn't. I don't know anybody who has except for me. I'm the only one I know who's read the Social Security Act. You're now regulated in the democracy because you're not citizens of the individual states. You're a United States citizen and an employee, and you're regulated under the employee laws. And if you look up in Clark's summary of U.S. American law,
democracy and a representative government. No, the founders created. I'm not talking about what happened later.
Well, that's where we're at today. The thing is you're. What you're telling people is not true. Did you know that the majority of the people in the United States, listen, you need to learn something. The majority of the people in the United States at the time that the United States Constitution was written up opposed the Constitution. They did not want it, but it was never put to a popular vote because it had nothing to do with the people. It was created by the states. It wasn't even legally ratified, but it is in existence today because the states acquiesce to it. That's right out of Clark's summary of U.S. American law, one of the most fundamental law books in the United States today, and it's been that way for over 100 years. The Constitution was a mistake. It wasn't a good idea. You were warned against it by men like Patrick Henry and Mason and all these guys. Much abler men even than them. But the reason they warned you against it is because they were afraid you would do exactly what you've done. Is you've become members of the United States, employees. They probably didn't even imagine how bad it would get. They warned you that they would steal all your rights through ambuscade. And that's exactly what's happened because you've gone and made contracts, covenants, with the United States federal government to obtain benefits at the expense of your neighbor. And you're no longer in republics. There's nobody living in the republics. You have gone exactly the way Rome used to be a republic for 500 years, ended up with an emperor. It didn't even take us 50 years. And we ended up, the word emperor means commander in chief. That's what you have. You have a commander-in-chief. He is regulating everything, your right to bear arms and everything. He's regulating them in equity. You don't have access to your inalienable rights because you have not taken your responsibilities as free people.
Something in contractual law where everything has to be put above board. You cannot hide.
It is above board. It's published.
It's right there in the law. And I can show you, and I do show you in the book Covenants of the Gods. The law, they tell you, like I said, they published the, I've read not only the Social Security Act, but I read the book written by the guy who wrote the Social Security Act. He tells you what he's doing. If you just read the foreword of it, he talks about it being a cauldron. And I could read to you over and over again. The problem is there's a lot of patriot rhetoric out there talking, and people hear what they want to hear. I'm not bringing you the message that people want to hear. I'm bringing you the truth. And the truth is we screwed up. We screwed, our fathers screwed up, and maybe even some of our grandfathers screwed up. I'm probably older than you, so my grandfather was around before Social Security, but the point is...
Actually, so is mine. I'm 54.
Okay, well, you're still younger than me, but anyway... The fact is I've my books are all free online. You can read it. We go through. You don't own your land. You don't own your labor. You don't own your children.
No, I know
you
that.
Don't
I'm not
own
arguing
your children.
On that.
Say again.
Well, now the children part. It depends on where you go with that. I mean, you can make a stand, but the problem is when you do, unless you really have. Judges that aren't part of the system, you're not going to win.
Where are you going to get a judge that's not part of the system? you know, I've gone to Washington, D.C. with what we present. We show you the way out of this. You can't just file a couple of papers and then get out of this. Everybody is in debt up to their ears. You know, I've been at this for generations now. We had three generations homeschooled, never been to public school. Don't have Social Security numbers. Never had Social Security numbers. It's not a matter of take. Never had birth certificates. Absolutely legal. Gone to Washington, D.C., took to the top attorneys in the United States and said, this is what we're doing. What is this legal? They say yes. Now, I'm going to get an argument from the socialists who are going to feel really bad because they think they are gods.
Yeah, and they think they should get... part of what you make and all this other stuff.
Absolutely, but the fact is, if you're taking the benefit, you owe the dues. You want to get to the point where you're not taking the benefit and don't owe the dues, then you're going to have to do something different. And this is what I'm showing you. I know the rhetoric. I've been at this for decades and decades and decades. Before, when I grew up in a household, my father wrote law books. The first pamphlet I published was Holy Matrimony versus Marriage. When he read that, and you can read it online, all our books are free online. You can just download them. All our audios free online. All our videos free online. We're not trying to make money off anybody's back. We're not patriots for hire. We show you this.
What's your web?
HisHolyChurch.org.
HolyChurch.org?
HisHolyChurch.org. Three words. His Holy Church, all one word, though. .org, and we have others, preparingyou.com. We've got a lot of other websites. We have it on in a lot of different places. We also have a big
website links to them all.
Yeah, here and there. They're huge websites. They got a huge amount of information, but there's a search engine up in the right-hand corner, down the left-hand corner on most pages. So you can find your way around, and we have a network of guys who will help you and show you what we're talking about. Guys who have been studying this for years and years. No charges, no $1,500 fees, no $200 fees, no $100 fees. You can go to, we're having a retreat right now in Missouri. You can go to that retreat for free.
You know, I fit into a different situation because, and this is where founders never even thought of it. I drive a truck for a living, and so I do enter into an agreement to do interstate. Now, if I was intrastate, then it would be up to Texas, but unfortunately I run.
Yeah, but see, even Texas, your Texas governments and your state governments, all the congressmen and senators in those governments are federal employees. They're all federal U.S. citizens. They're residents of their states now. Look up what a resident is.
Not all of them.
Well, all 99% of them.
Yeah, well, check this out. This one lady, for example, there's more than just her, but give you an example. She is a descendant of the original founders of Texas, all right? And she never had a Social Security number or anything. The IRS came after her for oil revenue. And she pointed out to him and took him to court, and this is where having a judge is not part of the system helps. But she sued him in court, vice versa. They took her to court and tried to get money out of her and put her in prison. She's never took $1, one penny from him and never paid him a penny and has never been on welfare. And she doesn't pay property tax. The county can't go after her for property tax. In fact, most of the county is her land anyway.
There, you'll find some people who understand the system, how it works. What we're trying to teach people is how, because most people are bound up in the system. What should have been for their welfare is a snare. We're showing you how that works. It's happened before. It happened in Egypt. It happened at the time of Jesus Christ. And they were doing something. Christ was teaching it. John the Baptist was teaching it. You will not learn it in your local churches. They actually are delivering you into bondage. But where we're showing you is what they did is that people came together. People came together and formed a network operating by what Paul calls the perfect law of liberty, by faith, hope, and charity, and they were there to watch each other's back. And they were set free. When they got the baptism of Christ, and I can show you this right in the Bible, they were cast out of the welfare system of the Pharisees that was started by the Herod. And they were literally opting out of the Social Security system that had brought them into bondage. And the Christians, the people who became Christians in those first century, second century, third century, that were following the same way, that's why they would say, there is another king, one Jesus. These are the ones who do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. And they were very successful at it until the absolute death throes of the Roman Empire. And then they were actually accusing, what Christians were accused of was atheism. That's why they were persecuted. They said, you don't believe in the gods because all their gods, God simply means ruling judges. If you walked into a Hebrew court at the time of Jesus Christ, you walked into a Roman or Greek court at the time of Jesus Christ, you would address the judges as God. You would address him as Theos in the Greek or Elohim in the Hebrew, because they were ruling judges. This is why Paul says there are gods many. Today, these judges that are sitting there in equity are the gods of your lives because of the fact that you've been taking benefits instead of taking responsibility for yourself. This system will fail.
I'll pay into it, but I don't get nothing from them.
But the fact is, you've signed up. You've got the number. You can't even get a driver's license without the number. And that's according to Title 42, Section 666. You have to have a Social Security number to get a marriage license. You have to have a Social Security number to get a driver's license, a business license, any of those things. Title 42, Section 666.
And you don't even need a marriage license.
Well, go read my Holy Matrimony versus Marriage. But the fact is, this is an age-old system. They use the Constitution and the apathy and ignorance of the people to bring this about. But if the people want a change, if they want to go back to true freedom, they have to start taking responsibility for themselves. Moses did not take people to the edge of the desert one at a time and say, run for it, you're free. The people learned how to come together, not making laws for each other, but the basic foundational laws. Don't steal, don't rob, don't cheat, don't try to finagle anything out of your neighbor that isn't his choice to give. Don't create these systems of, we talk about this, the golden calf. That all that was a central bank. They had that in all the city states. They would say, create a central statue that all the gold went in, and you had something like scarabs or something to use in your community as if it was money that had no value. And the reason they put all that gold there in a central statue is because they could keep an eye on it. They couldn't keep an eye on it if you put it in a vault. It might be empty like Fort Knox. But they put it in a statue. But Moses said, no, you don't do it that way because it will lead to centralized control of your life. He says the money has to be in your pocket, present value. Just weights and measures. What country uses just weights and measures? None today. We're all back in the bondage of Egypt, whether you're in Australia or Israel or England or wherever. We've and all this is because we don't understand how the law really works. But this system is going to collapse. It's going to utterly, absolutely fail. And nobody's ready. They aren't doing what those free nations, which you don't even know the history of because they've removed it from your history books hundreds of years ago. Most of it was in the last century it was removed, but they've been burning books since the 1100s because they don't want you to know how a free government actually operates. You go back to the Constitution and you're not going to have a free government because you still have all those contracts and all this debt. And you can't just say, we're going to break the bands that have connected us with you because of the fact that everybody is collateral for this debt. And they told you that's what was going to happen. Peter said, through covetousness, they'd make merchandise of you, human resources. They even call it a human resource department. But it isn't. Because they assert the Constitution, it's because we failed to retain our rights as individuals. And we have to learn to do that as individuals together in a network where the only thing that binds us is not a social compact or contract, but faith, hope, and charity, love for one another. And I give examples of this in shows all the time. But I know I talked over your question a lot, but the fact is I've heard that all before. I've written books about it, contracts, covenants, and constitutions, the covenants of the gods. All these books are there, hundreds of articles, audios, videos, everything that will explain how this works. The United States was foreign to the individual states. Even after Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law states that even after the acquiesce to the Constitution of the United States, the states were as foreign to each other as Mexico is to Canada. That's a direct quote from Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law. And that's absolutely true. But it's not true anymore because the states have abandoned their republics and everybody has gone into the democracy in order to, they have sold their birthrights for a pot of benefits. And the only way out is that people have to, and I'm not saying get rid of your Social Security number and stop paying taxes or any of these things. That's foolish rhetoric. I'm saying start learning how to take care of one another like these free societies. We don't even know the history of these free societies. You know, most of your theologians haven't got a clue of what the early church was doing. The early church was referred to in The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbons, one of the most popular books at the time of the American Revolution. It came out in 1775 in its final form. It referred to the early church as a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire. The early churches in America were much different than the churches were if you went to England or Denmark or Norway. They were referred to in writings of the time as embryonic republics. A republic comes from the Latin idiom libera res public, free from things public. Well, you're not free from things public if you make contracts and agreements and apply for benefits and get numbered and join systems of social welfare so that you can get, and they're making it so you can't hardly make a living. You know, I haven't had a Social Security number. Mine went back years ago when it was still legal. And there's a particular reason why mine could go back and most people's today can't go back. they're not going to accept it back. You got to have a place to stand to send it back. But the point is that you're not going to get a place to stand. There are a few pockets, like you say, a few people here and there who have stayed separate. Very rare. But the people need to start coming together and being that free republic in spirit and in truth, so that when this system fails, they will be able to survive. Like I say, everybody's going to get free one of these days, but everybody's not going to survive freedom. You look at you, you're around long enough, as old as you are, you've been around long enough to know what happened if you didn't have this government structure keeping the peace, so-called peace. Most of the people in the world wouldn't know what to do. They don't know how to be free people. They are so plugged into, you know, welfare and public schools and healthcare and all these things, they couldn't survive. They can't even organize if they had a disaster on their block. Look at the things like Katrina and some of these other disasters. Nobody knows what to do. They just all go to some big auditorium and sit there in their own feces. It's rare to find people who know how to act, but there's going to be a real crash course here to know what it means to be a republic. And we're trying to educate people so that they will know what that looks like. And they need to start practicing it now. But anyway, we're getting up on the end of the program, so I'm going to have to thank you for your call if you're still there. And I apologize for talking over you, but it's my show. But I think I did address your original question. We only got a couple more minutes here, and we'll be off the air. So this series, we're going to put together this whole series so everybody can re-listen to it. Until then, I would recommend everybody go to hisholychurch.org and join the Living Network. You can actually go to, I think, a Living Network, thelivingnetwork.org, and it will pop up. And join that and start meeting other people that are starting to take back their responsibilities. Because until we do that, you're not going to get your rights back. And you don't deserve them back. And you should be in bondage. And you should be under tribute. And that's where everybody's at. And they're regulated in equity. And I know I can go rings around people really quick, because I can quote you Judiciary Act of 1789, which is an architectonic act written by the authority granted it by the Constitution of the United States, who makes a provision in there for equity. That is the remedy. That's your remedy for your marriage license. That's a remedy for your car license. And you don't own your car. You have to pay the use tax. Stop paying the use tax, they'll take the car away. Same with the house. It's all usury. It's because you don't actually own anything. You have legal title. Legal title, by definition, I quote it right out of the book, legal title is an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. Beneficial interest, the definition, the right to use the property. You pay $400,000 for a piece of property, you don't even own the right to use it. Just skip paying the use tax for 2 years and you lose it. That's not why Americans came here. The people that came here in early America came here to actually own the lawful title to the land, not just the legal title. Most people have no idea what I'm talking about because they went to public school. I never went to public school, so I don't know. But anyway, we're at the end of the program. So till next week, peace on your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.